every time I refresh my Facebook page, well, I would go up 100 likes. And there, my message box, like ding, 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 ding. Right, it was the most insane thing.
Unconventional Life, the show where I interview successful entrepreneurs, artists, creators, and thought leaders on how they earn their living in non-traditional ways. Twice a week, we will explore how they took the path less traveled, what their revenue model looks like, and why they are prioritizing their passion over their paycheck. I'm your host, Joel Schroeder.
Unconventional Life family, welcome to the show. This is your host, Joel Schroeder. I have got Julius Dean in the house on today's segment. Julius, are you ready to take us down the path less traveled?
Let's do it, Jules.
So I am super excited to be chatting with this Londoner slash viral internet magician. Julius, at just 22 years old, has amassed quite a social media following with over a billion video views on Facebook. You've been on YouTube. You've got hundreds of thousands of followers on Snapchat, Instagram, all across the board. But more than anything, you do have a knack for being able to spot viral content and ultimately create it. And I know you've distilled it down into this quasi little formula of magic that we'll talk about a little bit later. So Julius, welcome to the show. Fill in any gaps that I might have left out and give us a glimpse into your personal life.
Thank you. So yeah, you've pretty much summed it up. From a numbers game, I'm a social media influencer, as they call it. I make videos for public entertainment. Viral videos is what I focus on a daily basis. I'll come up with an idea, I'll post it online, and I'll try and get that video to get millions and millions of views, which is what I've been successfully achieving over the last year. So my niche is magic. I can do these kind of crazy, mind-blowing illusions online that have got hundreds of millions of views through Facebook and millions of views through YouTube. I also do kind of comedy, sketchy, prank type videos as well that also do very well. But you know, all in all, kind of my brand is this kind of cheeky British magician prankster from London.
Yeah, so the videos, for anyone that doesn't know Julius, you should totally go stalk him. His videos are pretty funny. Some of the pranks that you do.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, but I'm curious, like at 22, you know, getting started, especially with the internet, so many social media platforms, being a social media influencer has become almost like being a doctor or almost like being a lawyer. It's really its own profession. So was that always in the cards? Was it like, I want to do that? Or give us some backstory of what it was like maybe growing up for you and just how you kind of found yourself organically in this career path? Or was it organic? Was it intentional?
Yeah, it was very intentional. So I started off as a magician. I was at university. I was at King's College London. And I was doing a bit of side magic for, you know, extra money to enjoy my life. And I was like, I really want to turn this into like a booming profession. But, you know, I'm business orientated. And, you know, when you think business, you think, how can you scale it? Right? So if you're trying to run a successful business, it's always smart to scale that business, whether it's employing new staff or having a bigger office or achieving economies of scale in whatever way you can. So for me, the only real way that I could scale being a magician was through reaching more people. So I thought to myself, look, I could be a TV magician. That's great. That's a lot of money, a lot of prestige, a lot of opportunity to really do what I want to do. And then I was like, well, let me just try my hand at the internet. Far more chance, far less competition, far less barriers to entry. So I started making little magic videos online and posting them on YouTube. They racked up thousands of views, which I was ecstatic about. And then I posted the videos to Facebook. And because of that share button on Facebook, these videos would start to go viral on Facebook. So I was like, wow, my videos are going viral on Facebook, like getting thousands and thousands of shares. And this is when I had like a few hundred likes on my Facebook page. But through the shares, the traffic generated brought that up to thousands of likes and then tens of thousands of likes. And, you know, then after a couple of months, I'd reached a million likes and so on and so forth. And now I'm on 7 million or 6.9 million Facebook followers. That's translated into, you know, X amount of Instagram followers, my Twitter following, my Snapchat following, my YouTube following. But you know, it stemmed really from Facebook, but it was most certainly an intentional move to become a online influencer or personality or however you want to call it.
Yeah, totally. So how long, let's give some time context to when you started your first video to where you are now.
Started my first video, it was towards the beginning of my third year of university, which was probably about a year and a half ago. So a year, maybe a year and 10, 9, maybe a little bit more, just a little bit over a year and a half ago.
Yeah. Which is crazy to watch that kind of growth. And why I wanted to highlight that is I know you really like distilled it down to these core components that we'll talk about in just a little bit about what it does to have content go viral. And so for those listening to this that want to be influencers, that want to really work with virality, like this stuff is about to be really gold that you're going to share with us. But with that being said, how did you kind of figure it out in the beginning? Like, were there people that you looked up to? Did you read stuff? Was it on accident? Give me kind of a playbook.
So I've always taken an interest in video. Well, it wasn't just like I just wanted to be a magician and then I was like, all right, I'm going to use video to be a magician. I've always been interested with virality and YouTube and kind of social media. I'd never taken it seriously. When I went to South America for a few months when I was 18, I played around with doing some like, you know, little vlogs that got literally 50 to 100 views, but it was only really when I started taking it seriously, and by seriously I mean trying to churn out as much content as humanly possible. There was a period last year when I was like, right, this is it. I am going to take social media seriously. I'm going to put 100% in. And at this point I think I was 21, and you know, I hired videographers from like the equivalent of Craigslist, Gumtree in the UK, you know, paid them £50, £60, $70 a day. We'd go out and film these videos. And then it was just trial and error. So what worked really? So I started off by learning that longer content works best on YouTube, shorter content works best on Facebook, introductions on YouTube, no introductions on Facebook. You know, the difference between like getting, on Facebook, it's very important to get early engagement on your videos because that's going to reach more of your audience. But basically just trying new things. So one of the main discoveries I found is that phone content on Facebook is powerful. And it's very powerful. If you film a portrait video on your phone, I mean, I had last month a video on Facebook where I pranked my grandma and it got 87 million views. And I filmed that on my phone. And I did some kind of pranks where I did like pranks with my ex-girlfriend, and those racked up hundreds of millions of views across Facebook. So phone videos tend to do really well. So that was one of the first realizations, like forget the quality and the glitz and glam. Look, I was 21. I don't have the budget of a film crew, you know, so you have to figure out it. So sometimes it's less about quality. It's more about snappy, entertaining, clickbait, you know, stuff that's, you know, innocent and stuff that could really be filmed on a phone. Rather than the glitz and the glam of like a Hollywood production.
Yeah.
That was a big realization for me, definitely.
Totally. Yeah. And we'll get into some of the specifics in just a few minutes. But specifically when you were like, if we look at what your life was like, starting out, you know, doing that full time, making the decision, I'm gonna go all in on this. How many hours a day were you spending filming content? And just to give us like, yeah, give us how many hours were you working a week? Like, what was a week in the life like?
It was you hear it as a cliche. You know, you hear everyone that succeeds in what they do. They say, oh, you know, you hustle, you got to hustle, you got to work hard. But I was really putting in 100%. I cannot tell you, I was so mentally motivated. It was incredible because the thing is, right, so I didn't have so now I have a reputation to uphold, right? So now I work with big brands. So I've worked with Doritos and Ubisoft and big movies like Now You See Me Too, and you know, I've got some big collaborations coming up with like celebrities. So now I actually have to be very careful. So you'll see that my past, I was just doing prank after trick. I was just smash, 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 smash. What I would do is I'd meet my cameraman in the morning, right? We'd have like hundreds of ideas like written down by this one guy called Dan, and we'd just film it for the day. So I'd go to the gym in the morning. So that was like 7 to 8 a.m. Then 9:30 in the morning, I would meet my cameraman. We'd like brainstorm the concept, figure out what we'd want. So for example, like whether it's like holding hands with strangers, right? We'd like, right, what reactions do we want? We want someone to be angry, someone to be like happy, someone to find it really funny, someone to like, you know, trying to hit on me when I hold their hand. Someone, you know what I mean? So you come up with different, like, to make it interesting. You know, we want to get the thumbnail and then to go out and spend the day filming it. And then after that, I would go home. I would edit the video that day and I would post the video that day. So I would end up going to bed like 9 p.m. Mm-hmm. Or 7 p.m. or 11, etc. And then, but I wasn't even tired. Like, I was so motivated by this because I was getting views on my videos. So then I was like, right, okay, so I've got this video. Like, it's a great video. I love it. So then I would, like, find out all the names of, like, journalists. So I learned a bit about internet marketing and, like just obtaining email addresses. So I found out that, like, you go on LinkedIn and there's this app called Streamer, right? And if you go on people's profiles, it will tell you their email addresses. Or so that way I managed to get in touch with, like, the Daily Mail, like Forbes is another example. You know, speaking to you right now. I've been in Mashable, Huffington Post, The Sun, Russia Today, London Live, The Evening Standard, like The Jewish Chronicle, like India Today. Lots of like huge the Daily Mail loads of times. But just through like finding out the emails, I would like fund the content. I would come up with the ideas. I'd film the content. I'd edit the content. I'd post the content. And then in the evening, I would try and blow it up. So I would do that by reaching out to loads of newspapers through that method of just trying to find their emails of different people and finding. What I would do is like say I did a social experiment, right? I did a thing called an honesty test, right? So I would drop £20 by people's feet, and I would pretend to I'd found it by their feet and see how they react. So I would look up on the internet like honesty tests. Journalist Daily Mail, and I'd find like the big newspaper journalists that had written about similar content, and then I was like, right, well, these guys are a perfect audience. So that was like my journalist approach. That was who I should reach out to. So that was kind of how I picked up on that, just running an area. And then with the Facebook stuff, it was just a matter of reaching out to pages. So I would just spam loads of different Facebook pages with the same generic message. I even got my account banned. I would be like, I got my account banned because I would just hit this message. It was like, hey, you know, X, the Lab Bible, hey, Fortify, hey, you know, whatever, whoever it was that shares content, you know, because a lot of big pages are distributing content. I just say, can you share my video? It's a really good video, you know? And then I spam hundreds and hundreds of pages, right? And after, like, eventually, there's this random guy called Mayor Boss, right, who had 5 million followers. He just responded, and he was like, yeah, sure, bro. And he did. He shared that video. He sent me the link. And then all of a sudden, my page went up from, like, the 2,000 likes that I'd nagged my friend to like my page overnight to 7,000 likes. Wow. And I was like, oh, my God, I've made it. This is amazing. And then I realized that sharing from pages is very powerful, because this is the hurdle that people can overcome, that they can't overcome. On YouTube. And YouTube, unless you've got your friends with a big YouTuber, it can be very difficult, or you have such incredible content and viral seeding skills, it's very difficult to get, you know, to get a foot in the door in the first place. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah. So what? Go ahead.
I was going to say, with Facebook, you know, you reach out to bigger pages. If you can find one that will share your video, and there are many, whether it's a matter of paying them to share your video. But if you have a good content matched with good distribution, that can blow up your video, which is what's happened to my social media. I've got good shareable content mixed with good distribution has led to me being able to, you know, my videos would start a trend on the internet.
Yeah, it's so good. So what percentage would you say you were spending on marketing the videos versus the content? Because I think sometimes people are like, the content doesn't matter as much as long as the marketing's good. And some people are like, if the content's shit, then the marketing doesn't matter. Like, what would you say is your...
Well, the good thing is I have my university classes during like random hours. So like, it got in the way a lot of filming, but I think that was what really did it for me, because I was so indoctrinated or obsessed, or, you know, I was just totally overwhelmed with the social media thing and making these videos. So I would sit in class And all I want to do is go out and make more videos and try and get, you know, get it more viral. So like when I was sitting in class, like I distinctly remember being in like a class on my like dissertation in the IMF. And I remember I was just sitting there on Facebook, like, and what I would do is I would basically go onto people that had shared my video, right? So say 1,000 people shared my video. I would click on these random people's profiles. So I'd scroll through all the shares, the people that had shared my video. I would click on these random people's profiles from all around the world, whether from India or America, and I would stalk their profile and see what pages, what other videos they'd shared and where those pages had come from. And I would send everyone a message. Like it was, I would go through, I keep finding new pages. Like I found that like meme pages and like celebrity pages and like, you know, random old, you know, random like trends that had gone off. Like that guy from Target, Alex from Target, who's on 2 million followers. He just shares content. It's like, you know, it's and I developed, like, I would just message all of them. I'd email them and like, you know, send them the same generic email. It was just like, hey, I'm Julius, you know, would love for you to use my content and share it or tag me. And, you know, it's a great video. And then I did manage to get a little bit of success through that. And that really helped.
Yeah. It's really great. It's so good. One thing I like about listening to you is it seems very like tactful in a lot of ways. Like I think sometimes people think virality, it just happens on accident and it's just like this overnight success. And it seems it's very like methodical in the way that you're describing it. Is that true for you?
When you see things that go viral, I mean, look, I do not know if that Chewbacca video was on purpose, but it wouldn't surprise me if that whole thing was staged. Right. I'm not saying it was. It probably wasn't because it did look incredibly genuine. Right? there are aberrations, but from a lot of what I've seen, basically every single video I've made go viral, and every video I post gets between 3 and 100 million views on Facebook. Every single video will go viral strategically. I'll take the thumbnail separately. I'll come up with a concept. I'll film it in a way to make it go viral. I'll get my share partners on Facebook to share that video out. So. Yeah, it's all, yeah. So what you see on your newsfeed is a product of my work. But for YouTube, it's the same. I go on Reddit. You have fake accounts that will upvote you into trending. And that way, that's how I got some of my, there was a video I did called Homophobia Social Experiment. Got 1.3 million views on YouTube. Other videos I've done that have got, you know, 500,000 plus views on YouTube. And a lot of it's through Reddit. You can cheat Reddit. You just have fake accounts. You have a proxy. You keep changing the proxy. You keep upvoting it. And then eventually it will go into trending. And then from there, the audience will decide. Like, you can't cheat to get yourself to the top of Reddit. That's not possible unless, you know, from inside. But you can definitely use these little tactics to get you into, like, the trending. But as I say, ultimately, it comes down to good content and good strategy. I've never seen a bad video go viral. Never seen a bad That's like Lopez sponsoring like millions of dollars on like paid.
Yeah. So let's talk about the strategy specifically. So if you were someone listening to this that wants to go viral with a video, what platform should they get started? What should they know about the formula? You can map this out into what you do yourself, but give us like someone that's starting from nothing, what should they do?
I would strike Facebook, no question. Just because that share button means that you like, you're not on a level where like no one can help you. Like literally, like there are pages out there like that will literally share your video. Pages with 100,000 likes, 200,000 likes will share your video for $50, you know? $50 honestly. So you take $50, right? You make a good video, you post it online, and then you find these pages to share your video, right? And they are out there. They are out there. You've got to search around a little bit, but you'll find pages. You know, some pages will charge a lot more, some pages won't do it depending on how professional they are. If you have a great video, you can get that video to be reshared. So so start off by asking your friends page, and then asking your friends to share your video. But as I say, it's about good content. I think it also depends on like what you do. Like I'm trying to reach as many people as possible, so Facebook's a great one. I think Instagram's a bit more beauty orientated, so I'm trying to be a fitness model. But trying to be an artist, I think, or something in other arts, I think Instagram's probably a good one. Again, it's the same thing. I went up today, I think 2,000 followers on Instagram, and I will have gone up by about 20,000 followers this week on Instagram, right? And the reason for that is I'm basically getting big pages on Instagram to use my content to tag me, right? And because that video will get a million views, I'll go up a few thousand followers every single time. It's just how it works.
Yeah.
Really interesting. But I would recommend that to do that. So like, if you're a fitness model, same thing. Like, just find fitness pages on Instagram, pay them some money, and if people like what you have to offer, whether it's your body or your look or your personality or your tips, etc., then they will follow you. But you know, these are ways of getting exposure without having any followers. A lot of people complain and say, "Oh, how do I start?" That's your answer. You've got to invest either invest time in trying to create relationships to get people to promote you, or pages to promote you, whether it's on Instagram or Facebook. And then I think YouTube is particularly valuable for blogging and for creating a real personal connection with your audience. So
yeah.
I've got London. I'm pretty much moving in yesterday/today. It's a humongous space that I've rented out in London. And I'm getting all my friends to come hang out and live with me. And I'm kitting out with like green screen and, you know, and you can just play with it, you know, but this is me basically saying to my bank account, now we are investing in YouTube, right? So I've got my Facebook, I've got my Instagram, and now I want to invest in the resources to be able to crush YouTube. So I really want to create that personal connection on YouTube because I think that it's so valuable. So I'm moving into the daily vlogging world. So I'm getting like my friends to come live with me, and I'm gonna try and get an editor to help me with some of the editing because I'm gonna have such busy. I'm gonna have a very, very, very mental schedule because I've got to a level with Facebook where I'm like, okay, Facebook's great. I've got that kind of reach in the audience, but and my Instagram's kind of grown organically, but YouTube is a world on its own. It's
Yeah, totally. So let's talk about these pages for a minute. One or two strategies, how do you find them and how do you contact them? What would you recommend for our listeners?
So what I did, as I said, is I would go on a video that has gone really viral, or not even, it doesn't have to go very viral, just get 1,000 shares. So if you see something, you'll see a video on a newsfeed, right? It could be the Chewbacca video, for example, right? A video, I think, got over 1 million shares, right? You just literally click on when it says 1 million shares, and you can just scroll all day for weeks probably, and just like look at all the people that have shared that video. That makes sense?
Yeah, totally.
Mm-hmm. Then you're like, all right, well what audience is this? This is an audience that shares videos, right? So you'll click a random person, right, and then just look at their, and then just scroll through their profile, and very often you will find that a lot of people just share videos. They don't really do that much, you know, profile stuff. So you know, up, you know, get 10 tabs up on screen, you know, you'll figure out in 5 seconds whether they're a good match. And then you know, it will say, you know, if you scroll through and I find some random Susie Smith in Canada has shared my video, I'll go onto her profile, right? I'll look at, I'll scroll through for a week, 2 weeks, a month, and probably end up finding that she shared, you know, 10 plus pages. And then of those 10 plus pages, maybe one of them is 9 gag. So I'm like, all right, 9 gag aren't going to use my video. They're too big. They're too professional. Mm-hmm. And one of them might be Justin Bieber's latest album, right? Or Justin Bieber's page. I'm like, right, they're not going to, Justin Bieber's not going to do that music. One of them might be Julius Dean. I'm like, well, that's a bit useless because that's me. one of them might be BBC News or Daily Mail. I'm like, all right, it's Daily Mail. But then there'll be a bunch that are like meme account, right? And I'm like, all right, bang, meme account. How do they make their money? They make their money through posting links and through sharing videos. Like they you're doing them a favor by contacting them. So then if you find, say, a meme account or a cat account or a poetry account or a funny videos account or, you know, an arts account or whatever it is, you know, you look at the page likes, you look at the engagement, if it's a dead page or if it's an active page, and then you just send them a message. So what I did is I'd send them a message on their Facebook page. They do check. I get about 100 plus messages a day on my Facebook page. And even though I don't answer most of them, so I don't have time, I read. I just like flick through on Facebook and I'll see whenever there's like a business inquiry, you know, because mm-hmm. you can tell when you're just reading the message when it says business inquiry. So yeah, and then hit them up and then email them as well. And if they don't respond, be a bit persistent. You know, I sent my guy second, third, fourth emails, and you can see when they've read it as well. That's interesting. And when they've read it, you know that something's, that they're reading it. That's really valuable, I think.
Totally. Yeah. So good. Such good advice for listeners. All right. Last little bit here. Let's talk about creating the video specifically, because I know, you know, that when you're making the video, you are including certain components, doing it in such a way that you're setting it up for success. What goes into creating a viral video? Are there components people should consider? What might you recommend?
So what goes into a viral video is, look, you've got to think to yourself, are people going to want to share this video, right? And the reason most people are not going to get a viral video is because their beliefs don't represent that of the general, either their beliefs don't represent that of the general public, or they just don't have like the kind of the intuition to like just have like that very general understanding of what people would find like shareable. So shareable content, you have to think is going to be something that is generally either something that makes you feel really good, you're like, oh, that's so cute, I'm gonna share it, or something that doesn't feel good, that's like really bad, right? Or something that's controversial, so it's in the middle, right? So it's a real feel good, so something that's feel good, or something that's emotionally eliciting, or something that's just funny. So emotionally eliciting, I guess funny comes into that, but you gotta just think like, are people gonna wanna share this? So my most viral videos have involved like my grandma, because everyone tags their friend when I prank her and they're like, oh my God, like this is so savage, like, I'm gonna do this to you, or you know, or when I pranked with my girlfriend, people would tag all their friends and share it, being like, oh my God, this is so funny, this is so savage, or the magic tricks. People are like, oh my God, this is like, you know, this is, you know, insane, how did you do it? You know, if you can create engagement, that's really important. Like boring things do not stand, they will not go viral. It has to be entertaining, has to be provocative for them. This is the way I see it. You know, you have to really keep them on the edge of their toes throughout the video, which is why when you go on any of my videos on Facebook from the last 9 months or so, I mean before then was still kind of learning curve, like you'll see I jump into the action in less than a second, 2 seconds, right? Bang, like everything I do is like I try not to have, hey guys, I'm Julius and today I'm going to be doing this. For the most part, like bang, straight in, you know, no questions answered. That catches their attention. And also, I'll tell you one thing, compilations, right? This is something that, like, a little bit of a trick for some of you guys, right? Compilations work so well. Like, I did a video last month called how to impress a girl with magic tricks, right? It's got 33 million views on Facebook, over 110,000 likes, 110,000 shares. And all I did was just take a compilation of me impressing this girl with magic tricks, right? Each compilation was 10 seconds, posted it together. It was a 2-minute video and bang, it went viral because compilations do really well. You see it all the time, like just with little compilations, like you'll see clips, like the most viral videos from like some of the Viners is when they just take their videos and post all the Vines together, right? And that works so well. And a lot of people haven't picked up on that. So
yeah, totally. How long are these videos typically on Facebook?
1 to 2 minutes.
1 to 2 minutes. And is there anything that you try to have happen in the first like 10 to 15 seconds?
Yeah. Interesting.
Something interesting.
10's too long. 3 seconds, I'd say.
Yeah.
Honestly, I try to get facial recognition. So I get recognized a lot and I know why. It's because I put my face in it big time. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think that's important for me. And if I didn't put my face in it as much, like if I didn't go, hey guys, I'm Julius and today I'm going to do this, right? The video might get more viral because people don't really want to see me do that, right? But I'll always do that after something happens. So I did this video on Facebook called like Snake on the Loose Prank. Went absolutely mental on Facebook. I'm sure some of your audience have seen it, if not, you know, significant people. Got over 100 million views across Facebook. It got 35 million views on my Facebook page. And then it got another 60 million views on another Facebook page. And then it got like millions and millions and more. It got 35 million views on the Daily Mail. It just went insane everywhere. It was incredible. Anyway, I started the video by putting a snake on like, you know, a pretty girl. And then she runs away. And then it's like this music, run. And it's like a snake, right? And it's really funny. And everyone else I've showed it to, they find it really funny. And it's such a funny sight, me like running on the street. Putting a fake snake on this innocent bypasser, and then crazy music, bang, and then it goes straight into, hey guys, I'm Julius Dean and this is my fake snake, and then bang, it just goes back to it. But you know, cool. if you're trying to grow a brand or yourself, like just do it when like there's an up, blah, 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 and then just give them a little bit of a boring and then just keep it active again, you know. But you want to keep them, you know, constantly involved, because one thing I would say is there's no easier exit than the internet, and the easiest exit is on Facebook, because you just two fingers down, you know, scroll, scroll, scroll. It's so easy to exit.
Yeah, so good, so good. All right, so let's zoom out for just a second here. So taking everything that you've shared, let's say you're a business, you are a brand, you want to get your messages out there. Maybe you don't want to be a straight influencer, but you want to use viral videos to support your brand. What might you recommend a person do in creating those videos? Should they find influencers like yourself if they have physical products or product placement? That seems like low-hanging fruit. But for someone that wants to use videos for their brand and they're not an influencer?
Yeah, so it really comes down to what they're trying to achieve. So look, if they're trying to achieve sales, right, my personal opinion, like so the brands that I work with, I work with the big brands. Not really because, like, I love them, because how can you love a packet of crisps? I don't think you can love a packet of crisps. You know, it's pretty why any influencer would work with a big brand. And that's because they've got big budgets, to be totally candid. So that's kind of, you know, I'd rather work with big brands and startups. Also because, like, it gives you more prestige. So it's like, you know, working for Forbes, working for a huge business, American magazine, it gives you more prestige. So that's why I like to work with big brands. But I would say that if brands are trying to work with you, I would say if they have a budget, then working with big influencers is certainly going to be beneficial. But the most important thing is to make sure that that influencer has an audience that are going to buy into that person's products. So, you know, the brands that I would typically be approached by, video games. So my audience is 18 to 24 year old males that probably sit at home after school or sitting, you know, working in Starbucks, or just random people in the wild that are just kind of, you know, in an office. Very, very normal people, more guys than girls. So that's why the kind of, so I work with like more, maybe slightly more male orientated brands. So I worked with a huge video game company last month on a kind of prank, and I've worked with Ubisoft for Watch Dogs 2, and I've worked with movies with like magic collaborations with Dave Franco. But yeah, if they can afford it, then definitely try and work with a big influencer, as long as it matches that audience. But I would also say that to not be deterred by that whole big influencer thing, because you have some pages and some influencers that have a very dedicated small audience, right? And that audience can be very powerful. I've been approached by fitness brands, right? And they're like, yo, you know, if you give us a shout out, and you know, we'll do like a, you know, a collaboration, etc. And I tell them the truth, because I don't want to play games. I care about my reputation, and I don't want to do something that's not going to attract any attention to them. It's embarrassing for me, you know, if I do a shout out or something, they don't get any attention. It's like, you know what I mean? It's not good, you know. So I would much rather work with brands that it's going to work with. So I say to them, especially the fitness brands, I say, get a fitness guy, get someone that's got that following of like people who are interested in fitness, right? You know, or whatever that niche is. So if you can find a small influencer with a dedicated following, then I think that's extremely powerful as well.
Yeah.
But I think working with influencers is crucial, because it's very difficult for brands to make those types of videos that are going to get the same reach. They can put sponsored ads behind it, but everyone knows it's sponsored ads. I think the best thing is when it comes from someone's mouth.
Yeah.
You know? Because I'm a millennial. My audience are like 13 to 24, more 18 to 24. But like, I feel like because I'm saying it, or like I'm in like, oh yeah, now you see me too. Like, just because, like, not because they love me, because I don't have 7 million fans. I've got 7 million Facebook likes, you know. I would be surprised if 1 in 10 is a fan, like, you know, be an actual fan. But what I'm saying is that just the fact that they know me, and I probably appeal a lot more to them than, say, you know, their parents or something, I feel like that would have a much stronger impact.
Totally.
I guess what Big Influencer is all about, it's about having that relationship on the mass level.
Yeah, so good. So good. All right, let's move into the rapid fire round. Last part of our show. So much knowledge you've been dropping to the audience.
I hope it all made sense. You know, I hope it was, you know, succinct.
Yeah. It was so good. No, our audience loves like the how-to practical stuff, and you've just been dropping knowledge. So.
You get content, you get pages to share it on Facebook, your audience will blow up. It's as simple as that. It's literally a formula for me, right? Every 100 million views on Facebook, I will go up between like 800,000 and 1.5 million likes, right? Literally, right? So I just make these videos. And when I get a good, like this grandma video, right? I just did like 5 little magic tricks for my grandma, right? Post it together, right? She freaks out, you know, it's cool magic tricks, cool thumbnail, good title. Got some big pages to share it. That video trended. I went up like, that video got 85 million views. I went up like 700,000 likes. Boom. That was 72 hours. I was like, it's great. I just went from 5 to 5.9 million likes or something like that, or 5.7 million. Great.
So good. In a year and a half too, which is what I love about your story. It's like, I'll, you know, for anyone that's listening, get in the game. It's possible.
When I get a viral video, when I got my first viral video, February the 14th, 2016, I was on 60,000 likes on Facebook. I took this video, how to give my girlfriend the best Valentine's Day. I just did a bunch of pranks on my girlfriend, posted it on Facebook, got a page to share it. That video trended on another level. That video got I think 2 million views an hour on Facebook.
Huh.
Or 24 hours or 48 hours or something ridiculous, or more, because it had 86 million views within 48 hours, right? So I went from a 60,000 like page to over 500,000 likes in like 24 hours. It was ecstasy. It was incredible. I could not sleep for days. I was every time I refreshed my Facebook page, right, I would go up 100 likes. I couldn't. Absolutely. My friends were tagging me from all over the world. Like, I went on a cruise ship years ago, people were tagging me from there. My message box was like ding, 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 ding. You know, it was the most insane thing.
You know? It's like Christmas.
But the most important thing is to keep it going. So a week later, I did a reverse prank. So she got me back. Right? I did like 40 million views, right? Then I did another one where I got her back. Got like 50 million views. And then she got me back. It got like 20 million views. And then I took all of those 5 videos together and crunched them all together in a compilation. And then that got another 80 million views. It was the most insane thing ever. And all of a sudden, I went from 60,000 to 500,000 to 1 million. To 3-4 million, right? Just using like the same concept. And then I did my grandma, did some sweet pranks, did some magic, mesh all together, and now 7 million likes. But it's just a trial and error. And when you find something that works, just milk it as much as you can and then move on to the next thing.
Yeah, so good. And for those that are listening, Julius has got a giveaway to actually go deep with one of you guys. We'll talk about that just after this rapid fire round. Series of random questions. Are you ready?
Hit me. Oh, exactly. Right.
Question number one, fill in the blank. If you really knew me, you would know what?
If you really knew me, you would know that I'm very real. You know, this is strategy. Well, yeah, I'm very. This has been a plan from the start, I guess. Been a plan. Is this related to me generally, or me specifically to the social media stuff?
Generally.
Okay. Actually, or maybe this, like, if you really knew me, you would know that at the end of the day, despite everything, all that matters is being, the most important thing in life is to be healthy and internally happy. And none of this stuff all really matters. It's really hard, but none of it really matters. And that's the most important thing to remember, just to smile. I'm happy go. Happy go.
So yeah. Good. Okay, next question. What is one resource or practice or thing that you do daily that you feel contributes to your success?
So without question, but and this isn't, and one of the reasons I haven't been as productive this month as I have in other months, Jim, it's like it changes your whole life. Like, it's so important to go to the gym. When I'm not going to the gym, and I haven't been going to the gym because I've been traveling a lot. I've been in Amsterdam and India the last couple of weeks. Dude, I'm a different person. Like, I don't have the motivation. I don't have the know-how. It's like, honestly, it's something different. Like, so if I go to the gym, I'm just on fire. And even if I'm failing, I'm just like happy. I'm energized. Gym is an absolute must. And when I go to the gym for like a week, my videos are just like, so they're on fire compared to my normal videos, and my mind's on fire. And I think gym is a really, really important thing. So, and just, and it's important to remember, like, if you're like sitting there and you haven't been going to the gym in like 6 months or a year, and you're like, and you're a bit overweight and stuff, I would say just like, once you start going for like 3-4 days, then you get into that cycle, then you'll start going every day. You just have to do it for the first 4 or 5 days. Like, you know, that's, yeah, go to the gym. I think without doubt improve every single person's life. I've never gone to the gym and regretted it.
Okay, next question. Worst piece of advice you've ever received?
Worst piece of advice. I think probably like just, oh bloody hell, that's difficult. Oh my god. I like, honestly, like, having spent a year living in Los Angeles, right? I remember, like, in London, so my mom said to me, just be yourself, right? And LA is such a world of, it's such a manipulative, like, world. Social media, like, everyone's sucking up. Like, when I first started social media, there was this guy called Jack Jones, right? And, like, this guy was a big deal to me. And he had, like, 3 million Facebook likes. And I had like, nothing. And I was like, right, I have got to get friends with Jack Jones, right? So I just started like schmoozing him out. I messaged him on Facebook. I volunteered to be his cameraman. I featured in some of his videos that got like a million views. And I was like, oh my God, I'm famous. His video's got a million views. And my friends messaged him, like, oh my God, you're a Jack Jones video. He was a big deal. And I didn't particularly like him. You know, I didn't dislike him, but I didn't particularly like him. Like, I spent a week with him in Vegas, etc. But what I would say is, like, you know, he probably wouldn't like my normal personality, but I adapted myself to make him like me. You know, I was his bitch basically for a while. I really was. I would basically do anything he wanted. I would help him film. I would be his, like, you know, stooge in videos. Like, anyway, the point is, I think sometimes it's important to just to tailor yourself to the environment. And sometimes being yourself isn't the correct approach. If that may be controversial, but I think it's important to keep that in mind. Yeah, I think your environment can affect you a lot. So if you're at, say, a big event, and you see a big CEO or a big player, and you're in your mind, you're in your head a little bit. You're like, oh my God, should I go and talk to that guy? Or you see like a girl you want to talk to, and you're like, oh my God, like I can't go talk to a girl, like. Just try and be someone else for a little bit, you know? So with Jack Jones, I tried to be this really cool, like, you know, like confident, like, yeah, you know, I'm the shit. And, you know, it really helped. So I think, you know, always stay true to yourself, but, you know, if you can smooth people up in a style that you don't usually adopt, then I think that's great.
That's awesome. All right, last question. What does living an unconventional life mean to you?
An unconventional life means not a 9-to-5 job. That's what I would say. I would say a job that, is not the norm, obviously. That's definitely unconventional life. But yeah, not 9-to-5. Something that when you tell people, they're like, wow, that's like really cool. And I work in an office doing like admin, and, you know, that's, I don't really get what you do, and I don't get how you make money, but that's really cool. I think that's what unconventional life is. Yeah. Well, unconventional, yeah. Yeah, or just something where people don't really get it, I think. Yeah, not because it has to be a job, but I think a life is just, your life is just something that it's not a 9-to-5, and that people, when you tell them about it, they're like, you know, different.
Yeah, so good. So good. Yeah. Julius Dean, everyone. Julius, tell us about the giveaway that you've got for one of our listeners.
So my giveaway is you get to spend half an hour with me. We'll have a one-on-one conversation. You tell me what you have in mind. So it could be your product, it could be your hilarious personality, your comedy, your dancing, right? And we're gonna narrow down how to go viral with this product, right? And with this video. So what you're gonna do is, that's what we're gonna do. We're gonna come up with a concept, right? And you need to go away and you need to make a video that's amazing. Right, that's like the best video you've ever done. So I don't know if it's dancing. I would personally do dancing in public. And like just like really random, like, you know, like dancing in public, and then put this like funny ballet overlay, so and then just cut it off in the middle, so like you're on the train and you get up and start dancing and it looks really, everyone's staring at you, and then you cut off the music and it just turns out like doing ballet to nothing, everyone's staring at you. But just anyway, whatever it is that you want to do, we'll come up with a concept, you go away and film it, and then I'm going to get one of my Facebook connections that have got over a million likes on Facebook to share that video. So if it's a good video, it might go viral and it might kickstart your career.
So good. Thank you so much for that. Guys, unconventionallifeshow.com. You can get all the details. Julius, for those that aren't quite familiar with you, that want to see your videos, want to stay in touch, want to get to know you more, what should they do? Where should they go?
Sure. So I've got a YouTube channel, I've got a Facebook channel, I've got an Instagram channel, I've got a Twitter channel. It's all my name, at Julius Dean, DEIN. And yeah, hit me up, shoot me a Facebook message or tweet me, and I will do my best to respond because I love feedback. So that'd be great to hear from you guys. But yeah, keep watching, and I'm coming for you, YouTube. Just know that I'm on 240,000 subscribers on YouTube. I am going all out this year. I want to be doing 7 a.m. gym, smashing out a daily vlog, uploading it, you know, the next day, and just having that cycle every single day for the next 365 days. So very busy. But, you know, I still want to hear the feedback.
So good. Julius Dean, everyone. Unconventional Life family. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. Such a pleasure. Bye. Guys, we got more coming at you soon. Talk to you next time.